Can we pause for a moment of prayer before I reflect on those words with you? Heavenly Father, guide our thinking and understanding to know more of you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've been here in this country for 2002, so that makes it about 15 years now, doesn't it? It's a long time. Something odd happens. I walk into a room and people are there who don't know me, and I walk up and I say, "Hello." And they say, "Oh, you're from a different part of the world, aren't you?" How do they know? I must admit, occasionally I say g'day, and that does rather give it away a bit. "What's your name?" "Bruce." "Oh, you're kidding." It just happens all the time. Our accents do give us away, don't they? They tell where we're coming from. The minute Maggie opens her mouth, you know where she's from, don't you? She would kill me if she heard that. I hope this doesn't go on tape. I had this wonderful little moment in Australia, and Ali, our daughter, sent a text over. She's got this little boy, Logan, who's 3 years old now. And Ali, of course, shares the Scottish side of our heritage as well. So she's singing to Logan, as she does, because, you know, she mucks around with music a lot. And she's got the bonnie, bonnie banks of Loch Lomond. And she's singing it away to Logan, and he says, "No, mummy. No, it's road, not road." And it's, yeah, he won't let Ali sing it in a Scottish accent. So Ali wrote across, she said, "You know, it's just so funny, he's correcting her. She comes from Australia and he's letting her know it." The accent tells you where you're coming from. When Jesus spoke, the accent was very, very different to the accent of the world around him. And when he talked about justice, the accent was very different. Think about the accent of justice in Jesus' time. Justice is about, I didn't mean to disengage you from this when I didn't say your name, Nicholas. If you want to help with the colouring, that's okay. I didn't, and Francesca, I just hadn't seen you behind Sean at the time. If you want to come out and have a go at this, it's fine. Sorry about that. The accent on justice in his time was Caesar was law. What Caesar said was the law throughout the whole of the Roman Empire. That was the accent. And if you didn't do it, you suffered the consequences, whatever those consequences might be. The accent that Jesus and the Christian faith bring to justice is very, very different to that. It's not about some authority on high that's going to bring some massive punishment down upon you. Our British law has a different accent to it. British law, it's really struck me in my time here, because coming from a different country with a different way of seeing things, British law is tremendously about tradition and about heritage and about the way things have always been and are. And there's laws that I encounter that are very much buried in Britain's history. This one, you've got to get married between 10 and 6 o'clock, is there because if you don't get married between 10 and 6 o'clock, it'll be dark and you mightn't be able to see who the bride is, and Dad might slip in the older sister while you're not watching. The law's still there. The accent that Jesus brought to justice was very different to the British accent, which has an awful lot to do with what's gone on before and the heritage that we carry through. There's another type of justice that runs through our minds, And that's the justice, the idea of a fair go. If someone's worked hard, they should get a fair go. You know, they should be able to make a living out of what they do. If someone's out on the cricket field, there's certain things you don't do because there should be a fair go. And it happens around in this place. You know, in Sawston, you give people a go. There's another type of justice that operates. It's not so much about the cultural mores, but it operates more at an internal level. And that is, the other day, Saturday morning, we're out on a bike ride, and I'm belting down the road to the roundabout, hit the roundabout, and a bloke comes through from the 505. He comes flying down there, didn't give way to me, and it was this close. And I was sitting on about 23, I think, at the time, Marius. Marius was behind me. He heard the squeal of brakes, and I think he heard me shout something that was rather unministerial. And at that moment, I wanted to be able to get my foot out of my toe clip and kick the bloke's door, because I wanted justice. He'd done something and he deserved to pay for it. And I said to Marius as he pulled, "Are you all right?" I said, "I want to put some spurs on the edge of my pedals." For a moment, that very visceral feeling of justice, tit for tat, wanted to kick in Bruce Waldron, and the nice minister guy had gone out the window. But he was off down the road, so I couldn't catch him anyway. I tried. These are the accents of justice that we have. The accents of justice that Jesus brings are not about the fear of punishment from some massive oppressor who has powers way beyond our own. The concepts of justice that Jesus brings are not about some rule of law that is established through generations and has prescribed penalties, or some external body that sits and makes a decision as to what penalty you pay if you mix it up, if you muck it up. The accents of justice that Jesus brings are not about a fair go. What does he say? God makes his rain to shine, to fall on the just and the unjust. God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn your left also. And it's not about tit for tat. All of these concepts of justice that we carry in us as part of our heritage are not the accent Jesus is bringing to us, because he's coming from a different place, and Paul is coming to it from a different place. When he says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for love, the one who loves another has fulfilled the law," and then he rambles off the commandments, and he says all of them are summed up in this word, "Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbour, therefore love is fulfilling the law." The justice of Jesus puts all of those categories that we've just talked about aside. And the driving force, where he's coming from, is the image of God the Father. And the purpose of God the Father is that we will be saved or healed or made whole, depending on which particular text you're reading and which interpretation you're putting on those Greek words when you try and put it into English. The desire and the compassion on the love of God is focused for the wholeness, the healing, the salvation of people. And that's what justice is about. In God's eyes, we come at justice from a very different way in Christian faith to the rule of culture, what we feel in our gut instincts, or what the law says. And it's very easy to get sidetracked from that. And in the second part of that reading that Faith brought to us, where Paul talks about The night is gone, the day is the night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness. Paul's telling us not to waste time in doing anything else, and it's very easy to waste time. It's very easy to waste time when the feelings that are the opposite of God's grace and love and desire for us get in the way. And when they do, when those feelings that are the opposite of God's justice rise up within us, Christ gets shoved out of the way. When I get angry and I want to lash out at someone, Christ is being shoved out of the way. When someone's done something that I think's wrong and I want to tell them and get them right, Christ is being shoved out of the way. When I think that life should equal this is good, so I'm going to repay good, this is bad, so I'm going to repay bad, Christ is being shoved out of the way. And the other thing Paul talks about is the way that our feelings can get in the way of justice when we get enmeshed in desire for other things. And Paul lists all the other things that take people's desire in his world. And he talks about the Roman orgies, and he doesn't actually say Roman orgies. He's a lot nicer than that. But he says, let's lay aside the work of darkness, put on the armour of light. Let us live honourably as in the day, not in revelling and drunkenness or debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarrelling and jealousy. Not in quarrelling and jealousy. He knows what his culture's like, and it's probably not much different to ours, but he says, put on Christ. If we let other desires and agendas take hold of us and we forget our purpose, we are easing Christ out of the way so that other things can go on. And we should never be doing that. Now, when Paul talks about putting on Christ, he means putting on over, around, through us, this desire of God, this overwhelming desire to see things become the way that Christ came to show us they should be. This putting on Christ. You know, when a person gets baptized and they go under the water and the water covers them, they're enveloped in the water. And that's what it means to be enveloped in this desire of Christ for the healing, wholeness, salvation of every person and every part of creation that we encounter. So if we're talking justice, we're talking a very different word in Christian faith with a very different accent to justice in the legal system. All that tit-for-tat stuff, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is never far from us. Justice has a different accent because it's coming from a different place, just like me. Different accent, different place. We are stewards of a very different justice to what the crown or Rome or popular culture says. And we're charged by God to seek it out in every way we can. Let's pray. God, who stands with us and speaks through us whenever we speak the truth to power, we commit ourselves to standing with the weak and the powerless and the poor and the abandoned and the sick and the old and the young, and those who by victim of circumstance and oppression of the elite bear the heaviest burdens. We commit ourselves to work and pray for the time to do your will at all times, where everything will be reversed and the first will be last and the last will be first and all will be well. In the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. Amen. The purpose of our faith, the purpose of the Spirit of Christ, the purpose of God is that we are stewards of God's justice. And we're going to sing Trust and Obey.